So we're looking at Ezekiel today. His name means God strengthens. Don't we all need that message today, that God is the one who strengthens? Ezekiel found his strength in the Lord. As you think about Ezekiel, he was born during the time of Josiah, which was kind of a Bible time in Israel, a reformation, a spiritual renewal time. And I can look out at some of us who say, we remember the days when you read the Bible in public school and had said the Lord's Prayer. Some of you remember that. Others are looking at me, what country do you think you're from? But can you imagine being born during the time of Josiah? Ezekiel is one that experiences the judgment of God as Israel declines, as Israel set up idols instead of worshiping the Lord, as Israel turned from God to idols and to immorality. And you'd say, maybe as Hal has prayed this morning, that we've seen this downward trend in a culture turning away from the Lord. So it very much is a word from the Lord to us today. Sometimes when we read the Old Testament prophets, we think that's a long time ago, talking in a different language to a different people during a different time, and it seems so distant. But the more we focus on the message of the prophets, we realize God is speaking to us today. The application of truth is for us today. So we begin by being introduced to Ezekiel, and he's the prophet who prophesies during the exile time. So there was a number of exiles when the Babylonians first came. They took a guy named Daniel and his friends. Remember that? And then he comes back a little later, and he takes like Jehoiakim, the king, and guys like Ezekiel, kind of the upper class, the people with a lot of skills. They took them back to Babylon. And some of those who went on this second trip were actually imprisoned, put in captivity. But others, like Ezekiel, was actually allowed to live in his home and live life in a kind of a normal sense in a foreign land. So we can relate to Ezekiel as he's giving this message, the message, the prophet to the exiles, that this is a message to people who are living in a land that is no longer the spiritual land in which they had experienced years ago. Each of the prophets, especially these first prophets, kind of have themes. You think of Isaiah, who focuses on the holiness of God, or Daniel, who focuses on the kingdom of God, or Jeremiah, who focuses on the judgment of God. Ezekiel focuses on the power and glory of God. Now, some of you have been hanging around here for a while, know that glory is one of my favorite Bible words. If you've heard the word? Okay, so you're going to get it this morning. One of my favorite words of the whole Bible is the word glory. Kavod in the Old Testament and doxia, which is doxology, is the Greek. So you think of glory, glory. If you remember one thing from today's message, it is to God be the glory. To God be the glory, glory, glory. That is going to be the key word to remember when you think of Ezekiel. He was a testimony, giving a testimony to the glory of God. So let's look at first the character of God, the character of God. And I picked up at the end of chapter 1 and verse 26. Chapter 1, it almost hits you like all this figurative language. And then you have a picture of these creatures who are supporting this throne. And now we have a picture of God on his throne. And above the expanse, over the heads, there was the likeness of a throne in appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. You get this picture. So you have these creatures who are carrying a throne, and on that throne you have a vision of God. Not all the prophets start with their calling, but Ezekiel, like Isaiah, introduces us to his calling. Remember, Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, and he says, holy, holy, holy. This is his holy, holy, holy experience. But what does he focus on at the end of chapter 1? Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard the voice of one speaking. So that's his theme, the glory of the Lord. Remember the word glory meant literally heavy, heavy, heavy. The reason it seems to have connected to this idea of a visible display of the character of a person, the outward expression or manifestation of who they are. It's a display of something that you don't always get to see. So it was related to a king. A king would wear his robes and his crown, and everything's heavy, heavy. Because that, and in fact, his girth was heavy too, because it was a sign that he was provided for. He had abundance. So when the king comes in, there's a visible display of his position, his royalty, his leadership, his power. It's visibly displayed. And when we think of glory related to God, it is the visible display of who he is. The word glory first occurs, I thought it occurred back at the Shekinah glory. Remember the pillars showing God's present fire and cloud? Well, the first appearance of this word, glory, is actually back when the people were provided manna in the desert. And the meat, the manna and the meat, were a visible display of God and his provision and care. They could see. I mean, they knew that God was God, but this was a visible expression. When we think of God displaying his glory, where does it begin? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we look outside and see how magnificent the creation of God is, we realize in the vastness of the universe and in the complexity of DNA, we see a display of the majesty and glory of God. You heard about how precious little babies are. We say, it's so amazing. It's so, isn't it? It's so amazing. Everyone has to testify to the greatness of God by that precious child. So the heavens declare what? The glory of God. The heavens display how great God is. That's where it begins. So God is displaying his greatness to Ezekiel, his majesty. Look at his brightness and appearance. All of that's talking about the visible display of the character of God. As they've described, wheels of mobility and eyes representing seeing everything and his power, we can only conclude in this expression, it's the sound of the Almighty that he sees in chapter 1. The Almighty God. That's who he is. God is displaying his glory as a introduction to Ezekiel's ministry, which was he was born as a priest, but he was called to be a prophet. He was called to speak for God. And so the expression, the glory of God, or the glory of the Lord, occurs 11 times in Ezekiel, but a related expression that you're going to see as a theme, they shall know that I am the Lord. The result of God displaying his glory is they shall know that I am the Lord. That's what he says. God is going to display his glory. I will dare say God will display his glory to you in your life journey. He's going to continue to display who he is. Why? So that you may know that he is the Lord. God's glory is revealed through creation, but God's glory is supremely revealed through his Son. Listen to Hebrews 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, like Ezekiel. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, that is his Son, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he, that is the Son, upholds the universe by the word of his power. So what's the fullest display of the glory of God? If you see Jesus, you've seen God. Jesus is the display of who God is. He is God incarnate. So when we see Jesus, we've seen the Father. You reject Jesus, you've rejected the one who sent him. What was the application of Ezekiel seeing God? What was his response to seeing the glory of God? He fell down on his face. Have you ever fallen on your face before the Lord? I've had a few of those. You fall down on your face and say, my goodness, God is God and I'm not. He's great, I'm not. He's holy, I'm not. You just fell down before him and acknowledge who God is. Now, think about it. Do you think he had any trouble moving forward based on what he had just seen? Now, he did have a challenge, but God made it very clear, this is who I am, and I'm the one who is calling you. And we see, secondly, the commissioning of God. The commissioning of God. And what was the commission? Declare my glory. That's your job. Look what he says in verse 2. He said to me, Son of Man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And he spoke to me. I just have to pause. God speaks. That's an amazing truth. The God of the universe, the God of glory, has spoken. That's why we spend time reading the Bible, because God has spoken. Not just Ezekiel, not just a man, but God has spoken through Ezekiel to us. God is speaking. God spoke. God is verbalizing. God has given us the capacity to hear and understand what he has to say. So he has commissioned Ezekiel to declare his glory. And he says, I'm going to send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels. He's going to give them a tough ministry, but he doesn't say, do it on your own. He says, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I think that's important for us to think about that with the challenges we face. Without the Spirit, we can't do it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit. That's true. That's true of all of the challenges of life that God's given us. It is in dependence on his Holy Spirit. God is speaking, but that work is revealing himself, and he's given his Spirit to enable, because he faced a real challenging audience. It was not a receptive audience. It was one who had defied the Lord and defied his Ten Commandments and had gone their own way. I don't know if this illustration catches it. I was just thinking, pretend we're all planet Earths. We're little Earths. We're little planets, Earth. And all of a sudden, planet Earth says, I don't need the sun anymore. In fact, we're going to have a geocentric solar system now. I'm the center. And that means I want the other planets to go around me. I want the sun to go around me. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense, does it? Can't rearrange it. We are absolutely dependent for our earthly existence on this burning thing called a sun. And we have to be in the right position. We need to orbit around at the right distance and rotate. We got a solar eclipse coming up. If that lasts too long, there's a problem, right? We need the sun. That's how foolish it is. Think about it. That's how foolish it is for little humans to say, I don't need you, God. Have you heard something? I don't need God. You go, What are you breathing? What are you thinking? You're going to be the center of the universe. It doesn't work that way. I might want to deny gravity, but guess what? We are subject to gravity. That's how foolish it was. But Ezekiel there to declare and to express God's commands. And as a result of their defying God, he said, there are consequences. That's really the message of the prophets. You disobey God, turn your own way, there are consequences. We live in a world that pretends there's no consequences, but guess what? It's make-believe. The real world is there are consequences for defying God. And I am a God's messenger to you. He starts off by saying, okay, so eat it. He eats the scrolls. He uses parables, all kinds of parables to describe. He shaves his head with a sword, divides up the hair. I couldn't even do that one. And divides it up into parts and said, this is what Israel's going to be like. The worst parable. He sees his wife die. Can you imagine? His ministry cost his wife's life as God's message, and Jerusalem is going to fall, and that was symbolizing the fall of Jerusalem. Parables, his visions. He has all kinds of object lessons that he uses, a lot of object lessons. At the end, I would say God is calling him, and he's given him a commission. And I would say to us today, God is calling us and also giving us commission. We also have God's message. We also have the message. What is it? It's called the gospel. We have the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Can you imagine? Ezekiel doesn't even have the fullness of understanding that we have of what God has done for us through his son. We can see how great God is. And we are called to proclaim the good news by the power of the Spirit. Now, the next 2 points are going to be very brief, but they're kind of overviewing. And I wanted to touch on, because I'm focusing on the theme of glory. The third point is the condemnation of God and his glory departs. His glory departs. In chapters 10 and 11, you're going to find that the glory of God departs because his glory was in the temple, the Holy of Holies. And when the nation turned to idols and disobeyed God's commands, desecrated the temple, the glory of the Lord departed from the temple in Jerusalem. And it's a warning, isn't it? That God's glory will depart from those who turn from him. God's glory will depart from a church that turns from him. God's glory will depart from a nation who turns from him. God's character will not be on display when he has been rejected. I think of God's call on the people of Israel. They were sons of Abraham by faith. And Abraham was to be God's means to be a blessing to the whole world. So when the people of Israel turned from God, no longer did they represent God to the world. They no longer reflected God's character to the world. The Jerusalem was to be the very center of God's declaring his glory to the whole world. The temple was to be the center of Jerusalem to declare God's glory to the world. In the Holy of Holies was God's glory displayed to be a declaration of who he is to the whole world. You realize how serious it was when the people of Israel had turned from the Lord and therefore were no longer reflecting his glory. His glory departed from Israel. The fourth point I wanted to make that we'll come to, and that is the kingdom of God restores his glory. In Ezekiel chapter 39, we read, and I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgments that I've executed. There's a future restoration when God will place his spirit within his people, Ezekiel 36. There's the vision of the valley of bones in chapter 37. There's the vision of the restored temple. If you take the trip to Israel, one of the highlights is that you will see the Wailing Wall next to the temple, where the Hasidim, with all their traditional garb, are praying for the restoration of the temple on the mount, looking forward to Ezekiel's prophecy being fulfilled that the temple would return. So Ezekiel is going to focus towards the future, because in the future, we in some ways kind of feel God's glory veiled a little bit in the world in which we live. When Jesus comes again, it's apparent, it's clear. He comes in all his display. God continues to give testimony. How? Through his followers, by his Spirit, declaring his glory. We are, in Jesus, being transformed into the image of his Son to display his glory. But one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. And that's what Ezekiel keeps looking toward in my understanding of Ezekiel, that one day the kingdom of God restores his glory. So what difference does this make? I believe the call of God today is to display his glory. The call of God is to display his glory. When you and I were created by God, we were created to be in his image, to reflect his glory. But you and I know, when Adam and Eve rebelled, that glory was distorted. When we're born again through faith in Jesus Christ, God begins this work of restoring his glory to be displayed through us. God is predestined that we become conformed to the image of his Son. That's what God's doing in us now. It's sometimes, do you feel it's the kind of hard work that he has? There's a little rough edges that need to be worked on. You got married, you say, oh, I'm not perfect. Or I have a child now. Oh, I'm not perfect. You understand. You're all going through the same world that I live in, right? Okay. And as you go through this world, God is at work in us by his Holy Spirit through the influence of others and circumstances that we're in. We don't always say, oh, I'm so thankful that I'm being conformed to the image of his Son today. But that's what he's doing. From a higher perspective, from eternal perspective, God is at work in you. Believe it or not, your parents might be an instrument of God working on you to conform you to the image of his Son. So the call of God is that we display his glory. Jesus said it this way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. God is at work in us to display his glory through us to a fallen world so that we are representatives of God. So what's the question mark of life? I think glory is actually the question, and that is, do my words reflect the glory of God? Do my thoughts express the glory of God? Do my actions show the glory of God? That's the question. That's the why we are here. Am I living this life to display the glory of God? That's why he's called us to himself. Not only so that we get to enjoy heaven someday, so on the process of the way to heaven, we become conformed to the image of his Son. Did you know that he wants to display his glory through your body? Paul says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God in your body. Didn't you know that you, as Christ's followers, his Spirit is in you, and the Lord is transforming us to declare his glory? And when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are testifying to the glory of God. just as when the shepherds returned, they were glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Think about glorifying God today in what we do, the way we speak to one another, the way we treat our spouse, how we respond to our parents, how we live in the workplace, how we live with our neighbors. The only question is, am I displaying the glory of God? Because to God be the glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the word glory. It's convicting. Thank you for displaying your glory to Ezekiel so that he would proclaim it to others. Thank you for displaying your glory to us through your Son, who is the exact representation of your character. Help us, Lord, to display your glory by how we live and to declare your glory by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.